Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with a program that helps you learn and improve your American English. We do this by telling you about interesting and important events happening around the world, and we do it in a special way. We speak a little slower than normal, and also we use a limited number of words that are easier to understand. Today we have two stories for you. The first one involves the always tense situation between North and South Korea. This time, business is involved. Then we traveled to Kenya to hear about some lawbreakers who have new ideas about jobs and their future. So if you are ready, let's learn together while we hear about our world as it is. Business traders in South Korea are urging President Park Geun-hye to ease trade restrictions with North Korea. South Korea put the restrictions in place in 2010 after the sinking of a South Korean warship. Pro-business groups believe that expanding trade and investment will help their businesses and contribute to long-term peace and security on the Korean Peninsula. Christopher Cruz reports.
A group called the Emergency Response Committee of Inter-Korean Economic Cooperation says it represents more than 140 South Korean companies. All of these businesses formerly traded with or operated in North Korea. Members of the group now hold weekly demonstrations in Seoul. The South Korean government cut many economic ties with North Korea in 2010. It acted after a North Korean submarine reportedly sank a South Korean Navy ship, killing 46 sailors. Yoo Jong-ho is the president of the Emergency Response Committee. He says the nearly five-year-old trade restrictions have failed to hurt North Korea, but have punished South Korean companies. He says in North Korea, management rights and control of the businesses that South Koreans have invested in were given to China, Russia, and Europe. Only South Korean businesses have been destroyed. South Korea still lets businesses operate in North Korea's Kaesong Industrial Zone. The 55,000 North Koreans working in the zone earn between $70 and $100 a month. That is much less than the lowest legal wage in the South. The wages are not given directly to the workers, however. They are paid to the North Korean government. President Park and her allies say North Korea must make amends for past aggression and for violating nuclear agreements before South Korea will agree to lift the trade ban. But she says it is time for the two sides to start talking again about peaceful reunification. She says, "My position is that to ease the pain of division and to accomplish peaceful unification, I am willing to meet with anyone." South Korea National Assembly Representative Hong Ik-po is with the opposition New Politics Alliance for Democracy. He says expanding trade and business ties are important parts of a successful unification process. He says, for countries under conflict, such as China and Taiwan, the most important things are the processes of peace, exchange, and cooperation. I think it is not appropriate to move towards reunification without those things. In South Korea, many people question whether reestablishing trade ties with North Korea would bring peace to the Korean Peninsula. They remember that North Korea promised to end its nuclear program in exchange for aid, but failed to honor that promise. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. It is not easy to find a job in Kenya. It is even more difficult for those with a criminal past. But some former prisoners are working to prove there is life after crime. They want to show that they can lead productive lives. Ann Ball reports.
The former prisoners live in the Mathari neighborhood of Nairobi. They serve their neighbors by collecting trash and doing other work. As they do so, they are giving back to a community that receives few public services. The service project was the idea of a group of prisoners, including Festus Indemuli. At the time, he was serving a 6-year jail sentence for a violent robbery. The prisoners thought long and hard about the mistakes they had made as young men. They began to understand that they should act differently. So they formed a group and called it the Reformists Organization, Kwitu Crime Sipoa, or Crime is Not Good. Festus Indemuli says it is important for former prisoners to stay busy.
When we create all these jobs for these guys, nobody else will think of crime again. Because he has something in his pocket. And he has somewhere that he's staying all the day from morning to the evening. But you see, when he doesn't do anything, just sitting like this, he'll engage his mind to the crime also. So that's how we tend to stop the crime in the area.
The group was formed a year ago. It now has more than 200 members. They have earned a small amount of money through their work. The members hope to expand the kind of services they provide, including security. They say many people in the community support the group's goals, but others have yet to form an opinion of the former prisoners.
We hope from where they have been, they have reformed. That is what we hope.
Some former prisoners say their friends and families abandoned them when they went to prison. The organization serves as a kind of support group for those who feel they lost contact with society. Moses Bayonne is a reformist member. He says he is ready to lead a better life.
Like myself, I was there for 6 years. Mm-hmm. I spent time there, and it was no good. So I understand. I wasted most of my time there. I would have made something outside here, you see. Mm-hmm. But after that, I learned something. And I knew crime is not good.
Kenya often trains prisoners in such skills as plumbing, electrical work, and carpentry. The chairs and other furniture in the country's parliament were made in prison. But even when the prisoners have job training, it is almost impossible for them to get a job. Festus Indemuli says that is because former prisoners must show documentation of their work.
They cannot use that certificate or that grade they got from prison, because when he goes to the camp and somewhere and show the grade, it's also being written there, committee maximum prison.
The reformists say they will keep trying to earn money by doing small jobs and helping the community. They want to prove that everyone deserves a second chance. I'm Ann Ball.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. If you are listening to us on the radio, please go to our website right now and print the words you have just heard. Also, download the audio as a podcast. That way, you can go back again and again to hear the program, read along, and try speaking American English. We are here every day to help you. Thanks for listening. This is VOA, the voice of America.
The Health Report is next, followed by Explorations. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Organ donation has become big business in China. There is a high demand for organ transplants, but a low organ donation rate. So, for years, China depended on organs from prisoners who had been executed. That has changed. China announced recently that it will stop using the organs of executed prisoners. The China Daily newspaper says the government now will accept only voluntary organ donations. The report said the policy began January 1st. China's former health vice minister, Wang Jiafu, made the announcement at a meeting in December. He was speaking to the country's Organ Procurement Organization, which the government formed last year. Mr. Huang leads another newly formed government group, the Committee of Human Organ Donation. The China Daily Report said Mr. Huang's group will create policies and rules on organ donation and use. The newspaper said the Organ Procurement Organization, or OPO, will work to make sure the process is honest, open, fair, and not wasteful. China has one of the world's lowest rates of organ transplants. Mr. Huang says distrust of the donation system is the main cause. He says that Chinese people are much less likely to donate their organs after death compared to people in other countries. He told China Daily that the ratio is about 6 out of 10 million people. Gabriel Danovich is a doctor at University of California, Los Angeles. He is also a member of an organization called the Transplantation Society. He says the organization is working with the Chinese government to establish an organ transplant registry similar to those in the United States and Europe. He says the practice of depending on executed prisoners must end.
I believe that at the highest levels of the Chinese government and health ministries, a decision has been made and there is an understanding that this practice must come to an end.
A top Chinese health official, Haibo Wang, made a similar statement in 2012. He told the World Health Organization Bulletin that depending on the organs of prisoners sentenced to death is not ethical or sustainable for China. Gabriel Danovich says China also needs to change the organ donation system. He says it currently serves mainly wealthy people.
China has been almost like a department store for organs of people who are coming from all over the world to pay for those organs and pay big money for their organs.
In China, prisoners will still be able to donate their organs. However, now their body parts will be registered in the computerized system instead of being used for private trades. Huang Jiafu told reporters that this is the main difference under China's new organ donation system. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
This is Steve Emberry.
And this is Shirley Griffith with the VOA Special English Program Explorations. Today, we present the second of our two programs about the history of the English language.
Last week, we told how the English language developed as a result of several invasions of Britain. The first involved three tribes called the Angles, the Jutes, and the Saxons. A mix of their languages produced a language called Anglo-Saxon or Old English. It sounded very much like German. Only a few words remained from the Celts who had lived in Britain. Two more invasions added words to Old English. The Vikings of Denmark, Norway, and Sweden arrived in Britain more than 1,000 years ago. The next invasion took place in the year 1066. French forces from Normandy were led by a man known as William the Conqueror. The Norman rulers added many words to English. The words parliament, jury, justice, and others that deal with law come from the Norman rulers.
Over time, the different languages combined to result in what English experts call Middle English. While Middle English still sounds similar to German, it also begins to sound like modern English. Here Warren Shear reads the very beginning of Geoffrey Chaucer's great poem, The Canterbury Tales, as it was written in Middle English.
When that April with his surest sooter, the drought of March hath persed to the rooter, and bathed every vein in switch liqueur, of which virtue engendered is the fleur. When Zephyrus ach with his...
Chaucer wrote that poem in the late 1300s. It was written in the language of the people. The rulers of Britain at that time still spoke the Norman French they brought with them in 1066. The kings of Britain did not speak the language of the people until the early 1400s. Slowly, Norman French was used less and less until it disappeared.
The English language was strongly influenced by an event that took place 1,400 years ago. In the year 597, the Roman Catholic Church began its attempt to make Christianity the religion of Britain. The language of the Catholic Church was Latin. Latin was not spoken as a language in any country at that time, but it was still used by some people. Latin made it possible for a church member from Rome to speak to a church member from Britain. Educated people from different countries could communicate using Latin. Latin had a great effect on the English language. Here are a few examples. The Latin word discus became several words in English, including disc, dish, and desk. The Latin word quietus became the English word quiet. Some English names of plants, such as ginger, and trees, such as cedar, come from Latin. So do some medical words, such as cancer.
English is a little like a living thing that continues to grow. English began to grow more quickly when William Caxton returned to Britain in the year 1476. He had been in Holland and other areas of Europe where he had learned printing. He returned to Britain with the first printing press. The printing press made it possible for almost anyone to buy a book. It helped spread education and the English language.
Slowly, during the 1500s, English became the modern language we would recognize. English speakers today would be able to communicate with English speakers in the last part of the 16th century. It was during this time period that the greatest writer in English produced his work. His name was William Shakespeare. His plays continue to be printed, acted in theaters, and seen in motion pictures almost 400 years after his death.
Experts say that Shakespeare's work was written to be performed on the stage, not to be read. Yet the very sound of his words can produce word pictures and provide feelings of anger, fear, and laughter. Shakespeare's famous play Romeo and Juliet is so sad that people cry when they see this famous story. The story of the power-hungry king, Richard III, is another very popular play by Shakespeare. Listen as Shep O'Neill reads the beginning of Richard III.
Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this son of York, and all the clouds that lord upon our house in the deep bosom of the ocean buried. Now are our brows bound with victorious wreaths, our bruised arms hung up for monuments, our stern alarums changed to merry meetings, our dreadful marches to delightful measures.
The development of the English language took a giant step just 9 years before the death of William Shakespeare. Three small British ships crossed the Atlantic Ocean in 1607. They landed in an area that would later become the Southern American state of Virginia. They began the first of several British colonies. The name of the first small colony was Jamestown. In time, people in these new colonies began to call areas of their new land by words borrowed from the native people they found living there. For example, many of the great rivers in the United States are taken from American Indian words. The Mississippi, the Tennessee, the Missouri are examples. Other Native American words included moccasin, the kind of shoe made of animal skin that Indians wore on their feet. This borrowing or adding of foreign words to English was a way of expanding the language. The names of 3 days of the week are good examples of this. The people from Northern Europe honored three gods with a special day each week. The gods were Odin, Thor, and Freya. Odin's day became Wednesday in English. Thor's day became Thursday, and Freya's day became Friday.
Britain had other colonies in Africa, Asia, the Caribbean, and India. The English language also became part of these colonies. These colonies are now independent, but English still is one of the languages spoken. And the English language grew as words from the native languages were added. For example, the word shampoo, for soap for the hair, came from India. Banana is believed to be from Africa. Experts cannot explain many English words. For hundreds of years, a dog was called a hound. The word is still used, but not as commonly as the word dog. Experts do not know where the word dog came from or when. English speakers just started using it. Other words whose origins are unknown include fun, bad, and big.
English speakers also continue to invent new words by linking old words together. A good example is the words motor and hotel. Many years ago, someone linked them together into the word motel. A motel is a small hotel near a road where people traveling in cars can stay for the night. Other words come from the first letters of names of groups or devices. A device to find objects that cannot be seen called radio detecting and ranging became radar. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization is usually called NATO. Experts say that English has more words that explain the same thing than any other language. For example, the words large, huge, vast, massive, and enormous all mean something really big.
People often ask how many words there are in the English language. Well, no one really knows. The Oxford English Dictionary lists about 615,000 words. Yet, the many scientific words not in the dictionary could increase the number to almost 1 million. And experts are never really sure how to count English words. For example, the word mouse. A mouse is a small creature from the rodent family. But mouse has another very different meaning. A mouse is also a handheld device used to help control a computer. If you are counting words, do you count mouse two times?
Visitors to the Voice of America hear people speaking more than 40 different languages. Most broadcasters at VOA come from countries where these languages are spoken. International organizations, such as VOA, would find it impossible to operate without a second language all the people speak. The language that permits VOA is English. It is not unusual to see someone from the Mandarin service talking to someone from the Urdu service, both speaking English. English is becoming the common language of millions of people worldwide, helping speakers of many different languages communicate.
This special English program was written and produced by Paul Thompson. Our studio engineer was Efim Drucker. This is Steve Ember.
And this is Shirley Griffith. Join us again next week for another Explorations program on the Voice of America.